close do I have to be?
As close as, like, you I don't to, touch like, this. Be in it. Okay. But, it's picking you up.
Okay, cool.
Not how, like, Heather Thompson was in Bethany at Dorinda's Berkshire's house. And she's like, I feel like you're in me. Remember that? She's like, do you want some sushi? Because Jellicles can, and Jellicles do. Jellicles do, and Jellicles can. Hey guys, welcome back to the B-List. This is B. I'm joined here by my friend and special guest, Sarah Galley, today from Andy's Girls Podcast.
Hi.
Say hi, Sarah.
I'm already dying. I'm so into this. We're 2 seconds in and I'm here.
I love having Sarah around. She's a great person to talk to about housewives and all things. All things, everything.
Yeah, screamless. I'm a screecher. I'm loud.
Yeah.
Aggressive with my thoughts and feels.
Tell them really quick about your podcast and what you.
Yeah, what you so do I there. Co-created and host a pod called Andy's Girls, mm-hmm. which I always tell folks I consider it a cross between C-SPAN and Ayanla Fix My Life, where we break down the shows and it's you know all housewives all the time. So we talk
it's
about
intensive.
It's very intensive.
Yeah.
It's definitely an RH boot camp. So we talk about all things Real Housewives, but I'm more interested in talking about sort of the episodes and evolution through like a psychological profile of these women. So why are they making these choices? Mm-hmm. How are events happening in their real life affecting the craziness that's happening on camera? What's the influence of production? Mm-hmm. And seeing the evolution of the shows has always been kind of fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like I
love your breakdowns. Yeah.
Because we can all read recaps at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But it's really trying to figure out why these women are doing the things they do mm-hmm. and how the influence as this show has become kind of an empire. So how does fame kind of inspire some of this too? Like some of the off-camera stuff.
The off-season stuff is usually the juiciest, right?
Right?
Do you have a favorite franchise? I think you're...
You know, listen, I am a person.
I love when people's faces light up whenever you ask them this question. They're like, they've been waiting all week for someone to ask me this.
I mean, I'm a citizen of the world, so I feel like I have to say New York.
Yeah.
But I'm at a place right now where there are just moments of franchises that make me love them. It's hard for me because I feel like last year was difficult,
I think, to be
a Housewife fan, just in general. A lot of the franchises were struggling and were in a weird place. And right now, I don't know if it's Thanksgiving. I'm Jewish, so Christmas means fucking nothing to me. But I feel really thankful. I don't know. I'm in a space where I'm like, New York is great, sure. But I feel fulfilled. I mean, like, Potomac. Probably consistently. Yeah. If you're looking at it through... like expectations versus reality. I always expect that New York is going to be the funniest, the quickest, the smartest. Mm-hmm. But I think if you like really compare them day to day, Potomac is probably giving me what I want. But just like as a point of historical reference, I would feel very strange not saying New York.
Yeah.
But then look at fucking, I can't even believe I'm saying this. This is the strangest moment of my entire life right now. So I'm so glad it's being recorded for historical records. But... my God, the archive of it all, fucking Orange County. And it wasn't immediate for me. The first couple episodes of the season, I was like, well, I guess we're back in Beverly Hills. Like, I'm being punished for something. What did I do, Andy?
I know.
Like,
Such a chore.
But then 5 or 6 episodes in, I want to say, or...
Was it? No, it was no, whenever Miraval. Whenever Miraval kicked
right,
off.
It was
I was
when
like, this is what we're doing.
When Arizona happened, and it was like... I don't know if I want to call it Cartagena-esque, where there were just so many different fights happening in this beautiful orchestral melody, medley scenario. I went to school for musical theater, and I can't remember any of those words right now. But like when it was this beautiful music that was happening, where there was so much, like the Emily and Gina
stuff is really, we talked about this,
alone is
heartbreaking,
but also...
Like-
addictive?
Yes, yeah.
Like, I know we just need a deep dive into Orange County, yeah. honestly, because well, I'm considering this therapy.
I got off track for a second.
Oh,
I wanted to first ask you, I was going to ask you about Christmas, but then I remember you're Jewish.
Christmas was great. Yeah. I watched some kind of television
You're from Rhode Island, right?
I'm from Rhode Island. My mom usually schedules...
You're a hearty New Englander.
Hearty New Englander. My mom usually schedules Hanukkah as a one-night dinner, and it can happen during Hanukkah or like 2 weeks after. So she does the whole thing of like, are you going to come to Rhode Island for Hanukkah? And I essentially say back to her, we truly do not care. We are not that family.
Yeah.
Let us not pretend.
Uh-huh.
So I just like chilled. I didn't really do anything... I spent 5 or 6 hours trying to find a dress that sold out on Reformation.
Okay.
And I did not get it, by the way. I did not get that dress. So, Santa, if you're listening.
She's wearing leggings. You can't really see right now.
She's wearing leggings. The very best that Spanx has to offer in the pleather category. Yeah, so I didn't really do anything. But I'm so thankful. So, well, Santa skipped over my
skipped over both
apartment.
Of us because, yeah.
But do you celebrate Christmas?
Well, I skipped over in terms of, I got stood up. So, I didn't.
Oh wait, tell me, because I saw your IG breakdown, but I wanna better understand.
Long story short, because I'm sure everyone that's listening.
No, long
to this
story long. This is your show.
True. Okay, does anyone have a couple minutes to sit here? But long story short about the cowboy thing, because I went to Houston.
You're just gonna be long story short
for the rest of the thing.
45 minutes.
Yes.
And now we're done, guys.
I went to Houston.
Where you're from?
Yes, I'm from there. And I only go back once a year. But last year
feels like a lot, right? That once a
year. Yeah, and this is the long story short, but just to wrap up, so the cowboy I met last year when I was at a bar waiting for a friend, and this random cowboy comes up to me and asked me if I wanted a drink, and I said, no, I'm good. I'm just waiting for a friend.
Okay.
And then the friend takes a lot longer than I really thought it was going to take because of traffic. And then another 10 minutes, the cowboy comes up and asks me if I want to drink again.
Oh, that's very kind of dashing.
And at that point, I was like, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah,
so then I just start drinking with him and we're getting shots. And then I'm like, oh, this is fun. Like, this person's like actually really cool. And we're like hanging out for a while. My friend finally shows up and is kind of like minding his own business in the background.
Because he sees that there's magic being made.
Yeah, like we're kind of like hanging out, whatever. Yeah, yeah. But then, so the cowboy... asked me if I wanted to go to another bar around the corner, and I was like, sure, why not? At that point, because we had like a shot and we're drinking, and I was like, so we went to the other bar. Long story short, we end up at like three different bars over the course of like, I think it's like a 6 or 7 hour evening, and we're just hanging out. And we at our last bar,
it's a 7 hour evening,
I think so. I mean, it was not late at night when I first was meeting my friend. It was probably
7 hours of you
hours.
And the cowboy. Like the clock started
six
when he
hours,
asked the second
six
time.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Great.
So, long story short, we got separated towards the end because the bar was closing. He went to the bathroom, and then I went outside of the bar, and I thought to myself, "Oh, I have his phone number, so it's not really a big deal." I realized that we didn't exchange phone numbers.
This
Cut
is
to the next day.
Aww.
I know, it's so sweet. Aww. Yeah, I know. No, it doesn't really end that way. So I go on the internet, I post the story about it, and I tell everyone about the cowboy. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of it, I post a photo of him. And then I ask if anyone knows who he is, please reach out.
Mm-hmm.
My inbox is like flooded I was so hungover when I did that story the next morning that I actually fell back asleep to take a nap. Woke up an hour later and the story had gone viral. I had like my entire inbox was filled up, including him. He was in the inbox. People had sent him the video or the story.
Because they recognized him?
They recognized him. I guess I had followers in Houston. And
and you had never told him your like social media handle or anything?
No, it's not really something I would talk about. Yeah, we didn't really talk about stuff like that. We were just like,
You're just people.
School and,
You're just people.
So anyways, cut to, we're talking the entire year. We've kept in touch and we keep talking about meeting up again this Christmas.
DMs, text, phone calls, what?
All of it.
Oh, really?
All
phone?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you're essentially sleeping together. Okay, great.
So we established like by summertime that we're going to for sure like meet up again for Christmas.
Okay.
And getting closer to the date, like he sets up the exact date, time, place, all of that, which we decide we're going to meet at the same bar we met at originally.
Cool.
And so I go.
Very romantic.
Yeah.
Very sweet.
I thought so, yeah.
Very sweet.
Christmas
I'm into
miracle,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little Christmas. okay.
And so I show up. I'm usually punctual. I mean, by punctual, I mean, like, I like to be at least 20 or 30. I mean, my family is one of those families that, like, when we go to the airport, we have to be there 3 hours before the flight. Like, those like, insane.
I love that, you know, though. That's great. That's respectful. Energy. That's good.
So I show up. I mean, I'm, like, 30 minutes early for this. Oh, okay. Just because traffic, I know. But I'm like, I can just drink. It's fine.
Yeah,
I just
need to
get out of the house anyways. But I'm sitting there, and he texts me about 15 minutes before he's supposed to be there and tells me that he is projectile vomiting and that he's not sure that he's going to be able to make it. And I said, well, do you want to just feel it out and see? Because you're supposed to be here in 15 minutes. And I'm at a bar alone. And by the way, it's karaoke night, too, at the bar. And but yeah, no, I mean, another 10 minutes pass and he says he's still not feeling well. And I'm like, I didn't expect you would, but thought you might pull it together. But, you know, I mean, this is, by the way, my last night that I'm going to be
home. I was going to say, so. Were you there? Did he know that it was your last night? Not yeah. that he could, like, stuff the vomit back in his mouth.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, do we really think he was projectile vomiting? I mean, if you really think that, I mean, men are garbage. So I just expect that the base expectation is that they're going to lie. This is what he's lying about. So yeah. At that point, did I have to mention that it's karaoke? So, like, yeah. As he's texting me about this, and I'm texting my friend James all of the screenshots about this, just kind of, like, because I have to tell someone. Mm-hmm. And as I'm doing that, Celine Dion, all by myself, someone starts covering that on the karaoke stage. And I'm sitting there alone at this bar,
so
crowded with people.
Bridget Jones.
The bar's crowded, too. It's like, there's tons of people to look at me and see this going on. But then you saw the story. So then I felt a tap on my shoulder and it was like three random gays that I've never met before.
They were super cute, by the way.
They were cute. They were so nice. Cute. New friends for life.
Love.
So
I only
they recognized me from
friends, so
the internet.
Great.
And they said they actually recognized me from the cowboy story from last year.
Wait, had they
I guess it's really popular in Houston. This cowboy story went over really well.
Did they know that you were going to be there? Had you said, I'm going out with the cowboy tonight?
I mean, I think I posted something about meeting the cowboy,
but you
said
didn't say,
no,
like,
not
where?
At all.
Oh,
not
so it just was, like,
it was
meant,
just
sort of meant to be. So then what happened?
So we just all sat down and got some drinks. And then after a drink, we got some shots. And then they were like, you want to go dance? You seem
yes,
like you could go dance.
Yes.
And I said, yes, sure,
always
why not?
Yes.
I never say no. And then... I do say no.
Listen to that cowboy.
Edit that
you know,
out.
He never
Let's
says
edit
no.
this out. What does Valerie Cherish always say in the comeback? Jane. I can't chain cameras. So we just dance all night and we're getting more shots. And all in all, it was just like an amazing evening. I had a really great time. They totally salvaged my evening. Yeah.
Wow. So,
and
have
you
heard
good at meeting
him?
Strangers, I think.
Well, that's a talent.
Yeah. Especially being from New York. You would think that it wouldn't be. No, but I guess I'm pretty approachable. I don't know.
Well, I feel like New Yorkers were just so used to seeing everything that, like, every day is potential story. So you're
and
just
everyone
more
in
open
Houston
to
is
it.
Really free. I mean, not free. Affable, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Everyone's just pretty gregarious. Yeah.
So what happened after? Did he reach out and he's like.
He did not reach out, did not apologize.
So
that is the end
out.
Of that story.
So he got nervous.
I guess.
Like he got nervous.
That's what I gather. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like a downer, but also an upper. So what you need to do next year is invite those three guys.
Oh, for sure. They said one of them is coming to New York soon he has a friend here. So we're going to meet up here. Now I have new friends for life.
Now you have new friends who show up at the
bros
end
before
of
hoes.
The day.
That's the moral of the story.
Bros before hoes. And show up. Show
yes.
up to play.
Yes.
Wow.
But that salvaged my evening and that made a nice Christmas. So that's what I did this Christmas. But
wow.
Kind of like, it's a little bit like, it's kind of nice having like a nice ribbon on top of that story now.
Yeah.
So they could put it away and not, you know what I mean?
I mean, I was in London for two... Oh, wait, what happened?
Sorry, no, go on. Sorry.
I was in London for two nights. Long story long. Met someone at a jazz bar who I'd never met. He was in front... Or I was in front of him in line. He said, do you want to go for a walk? And we spent the entire night walking. I don't remember if 7 miles or 10 miles or something. Literally the entire night we spent from... that night to the next morning, sun had risen, all that blah blah blah, and it was like the most romantic date-ish situation, and I lost all the cues that I understood after, where he's like, oh, this is a good spot for a photo, and I was like, no, I'm good, like I was like take one of me, and we talked about everything. We had
I
just
love walking
met
dates. Yeah.
And it was in fucking London. Nice. It was so fucking romantic. And then he's like, I'd love to get your info, and or I'd love to give you my number or something. And I was like, oh, take my card because my card's really cute and pink. And I was like, isn't this adorable? Look at me, how cute I am. And so I gave him my info at the end of the night. And the expectation, I was like, I'll give you a tour when you come to New York City. Like, it was like a whole thing. And it was just so lovely. And then at the end of the night, he was like, and I didn't know his name, P.S., because I had had some wine. And he had said something. He had said it quickly. And then it's like 3 hours in. I'm not going to be like, how do you...
I don't really like names. I like to, you know, the cowboy, the...
Right. No, I'm a nickname person, but it's helpful to know because I gave him my card and then never heard from him. So I was like, I can't even Google it. And all I remembered was I thought he said really quickly ramen. So then I was like, noodle. So then I went on Andy's Girls and I was like, guys, that, you know, I've gone to Europe. It was so great. But really what's most important is like, I'm looking for this guy named, I think, Ramen. I refer to him as Noodle. He works at the Treasury. I made fun of Brexit. We talked for hours. He has complicated feelings about Meghan Markle, which I do not agree with. But we worked our way through them as like new life partners. And then I never fucking heard from him. But listeners reach out and they were like sending me LinkedIns of like different ramen ramens who worked at the Treasury. And not a single one was that ramen. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this was our romantic comedy. Like, we had our meet cute. So then it's hard because you have these, similar to the cowboy, you have these wonderful, beautiful moments, but then something happens to kind of fuck with it a little bit. And it's hard to feel grateful for the moment itself when it's wrapped in a shit sandwich.
Yeah.
And not to say he didn't do anything wrong, but it just made me kind of sad that I didn't hear from him after. But still, like, we had our little romantic comedy moment, which I feel like is nice.
You had a walking date.
Noodle, if you're listening.
Listeners, reach out.
Reach out. Ramen, he works at the Treasury. He plays polo in Argentina. And his parents have just bought a house in Portugal, which is apparently the place.
Well, then that's where we're going next.
I know, right? He had a little too much like family money for me. I prefer when you have none of it. But he was great. He was lovely.
Well, that's amazing.
Shout out to Ramen. Yeah.
We're going to put her Instagram info at the top of this episode, so be for sure to reach out if you know Noodle.
Yes, Noodle. So, kosher or otherwise.
Yeah. Also this Christmas, you know I saw Cats, which you won't see.
I won't see because going to a movie in New York City costs $75 plus snacks. It
can literally be and now in crippling debt.
I can't do it for a joke. Unless it's, listen, I went to see Snakes on a Plane opening night, and it was one of the best.
Goodbye.
One of the best movie experiences. There are motherfucking snakes on the motherfucking plane. Excuse me, where's the Oscar? Like, if we're going to talk about people snakes that have lost, unfucking believable. But Cats just looks bad to me. But tell me, was it amazing? Alley. How was it?
I've had a couple of days to sit with it now.
Which I feel like is necessary. Yeah.
I think I loved it.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. It's like,
no, you didn't.
If I was 10 years old right now, this wouldn't even be a question. This would be like, replace, like, this would be my Goonies if I were 10 years old, you know?
Well, that's a
like,
sad 10-year-old. Sorry, that's not a childhood a I would ever film. Want.
It is a fever dream. Nothing makes sense, but...
But here's the problem. It's Cats still... doesn't make sense. The no, show, no, the no, show the itself doesn't make sense.
In and of itself is
who's going to murder me? Let's have a contest.
Yeah, exactly. It's Cats. Auditioning to Die or Cats. Which, that's what's
fine.
Similar
to I mean, line,
everything but... from, like, okay, so... The one thing that really got me was, like, Rebel Wilson, she's, like, in it only for a short period of time at the very beginning. And then she kind of pops back in at the very end. She's not filming the same movie that everyone else is filming. Like, whenever she shows up, she's, like, moves differently than the other cats. She's, like, rolling around and kind of, like, masturbating in, like, this cat suit.
Well, now
and
I'm
then,
in.
And then she starts eating roaches that she has trained to dance and do choreographed dancing. And then she's, like, eating them. And then she also trains, like, mice to dance, too.
Do cats eat roaches? Fact check.
I've seen cats eat grasshoppers, so I think it's totally plausible that they could.
It's disgusting. Disgusting so, animals. Okay, yep. And I mean cats, by the way, when I say that.
So much happens. You almost have to see it twice just to really fully get everything, but there's like slip ups with CGI where they expose really human hands and even
right.
like Judy Dench. Yes, her wedding ring is really clearly right. visible in one scene.
So did you
worth a look?
So how many people were in the theater when you were
I'll
there?
See it again. How many people were in the theater?
Yeah.
When I first walked in, it was probably around like 8 or 10. I can't remember. But I mean, totally like probably 20.
Honestly, that's a lot more than what I expected.
Yeah.
And how, what was the audience reaction to it? Were people laughing? Were they cheering? Were they crying?
No laughter.
Laughter.
A little bit of laughter, but not at the points where they were like trying to get laughter from the audience. There were points where anytime, like, you know, when she started eating the roaches, I looked at the stranger next to me and we just locked eyes and just started laughing at ourselves. But people were crying towards the end. I mean, it was a little emotional.
J-Hud?
Yeah, with J-Hud. But there was zero character arc development with her character. She just kind of like pops in, sings her song, and there's not really no backstory given to her.
And how was Ian McKellen? So I heard that Ian McKellen was actually extraordinary.
He was good. Yeah. But again, everyone was kind of like a bit player. It was like vignettes of people's performances. But I wouldn't even call him like a lead because he wasn't.
Right. No, there isn't. They're just cats.
Yeah, yeah. They're just cats.
They're just a school of cats. Whatever you call it. And how was the like dimension? Because everything's like three times the size.
All over
or
the place. I felt like I was on fucking drugs. I mean, it was it like one second,
crazy.
One as tall as the doorknob. And then the next second, it's like, it makes no sense. Proportion, time, space as a mathematical model, any kind of like, nothing makes sense.
So I have no interest in paying money for it, but I have been following it. Like I saw that there was some.
That's almost as fun as.
Right? No, I feel like I'm getting my experience. Like
the soundtrack
I'm saving.
Was amazing. I mean, all you know, it's the songs that you know and love from Cats. So.
Who loves Cats? I went to school for musical theater.
I'm raising my hand. They can't see me, but.
You like Cats? You like the music?
Oh, I think the music's, yeah.
Garbage,
though, so don't listen to me. But
do you like Phantom of the Opera?
What was that? Mr. Mephistopheles is one of the best songs, yeah. I was listening to it before I came here.
And we all say, oh, well, never was there ever a cat so clever as magical Mr. Mephistopheles. Oh, well, never was there ever.
What's your other... Wow. Oh my God.
Well,
we can break that. That's a different show.
It's fresh on the brain.
Speaking of Ayanla.
I was like at the gym listening to Remy Ma, and then I got home and I started listening to Mr.
As one does.
It's just all over the place.
Yeah. High low. Which one's high? and what's your like favorite musical? If you're going to say that you have garbage taste.
I don't have a lot of like musical.
Okay. All right.
I mean, A Chorus Line I love.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'm
that's
gay,
a show.
So.
I mean, yeah.
I'm gay. Okay. Yeah. The last show that I saw was Beetlejuice. So, I mean, that's like...
Oh, which is supposed to be
good.
Fun, though.
It was good. It's closing soon, I think, right?
Everything's closing.
Yeah, it's 2019.
So you would recommend it? You would give two paws up? What would you say?
Two paws up. Because there's nothing like it. You won't see anything else like it. If the studios can help it, they paid $95 million to make that movie, and they are only seeing $6 million back so far. They are not going to recoup that. So go see it.
While you can.
There won't be anything else like it, and it probably won't be in the theaters for long. So
did you see Les Mis? Did you see Hooper's Tom Hooper?
Yeah.
Did you see
it's also him? Okay. No, it seems like a bummer. I can't.
It's a little bit of a downer.
But you know what's not a bummer? The Real Housewives of OC reunion.
Look at that.
It is a roller coaster.
Meow. On that transition.
Three paws up.
So wait, what were we just OC.
Where were we at before with that? OC,
The glory of OC and of OC this season to me has been that there have been so many different plots that even if there isn't necessarily like an overarching narrative, there have been so many different like dynamics.
Yeah.
It feels hectic and chaotic
in a good way, yeah.
In the best possible way. I watched Part 3 of the reunion, no less than 4 times. I watched it this morning. I'm not going to lie. Probably going to watch it again this afternoon. I thought it was so deeply enjoyable.
This is a safe space, so just...
it was fucking great. Now, listen. I understand there's been blowback online over Vicky, and she put out...
With the homosexual stuff?
Like gays are gross.
Homophobic
essentially.
Stuff, sorry, yeah.
Kissing is icky, but here are my tits.
Icky Vicky.
Really? So, yeah, she put out a video last night essentially saying...
Yeah. An unapology.
Yeah,
saying,
it was like your fault. It was gaslighting.
She's like, I'm... Yeah,
let's watch it.
Hey everyone, it is Friday night and I'm just getting ready to leave for a week. We're going on a cruise tomorrow and just want to wish you all a very happy 2020. I thought I'd just mention I've been seeing some things on social media that people are portraying me as homophobic.
People are portraying me as homophobic.
I'm sorry that you're offended.
Viewers, editors, Andy, the production team, her cast.
Bravo fans, personal friends. I'm not. What I did
I'm waiting
say,
for it to be. I have friends that are gay, cousins.
It's Bronwyn's fault. Bronwyn's a stupid hoe.
It's like gay cousins are like assholes. Everyone has one. It's like, it doesn't mean you don't like gays.
I don't really think that we all need to see it. So, I'm sorry if you all took it any differently than what the truth is. The truth is,
but I love it so much.
The girl bugs me.
That's what she's saying. So at the end of the video, it's a 2-minute video or 1-minute video where she's like, it's your fault. What you watch happened didn't happen. And also, this is only happening because I hate Bronwyn. And it's the only thing I could think of to get upset about.
I mean, the words that she was using alone. I mean, here's the thing about Vicky, right? I mean, Vicky herself is just like, I was telling Tracy this. It was just like, she is a grotesque monster that just like you could tell that she's been on this show for so long, and like every day before filming I'm sure she just like folds her hate and her like bigotry folds of flesh and just has to tuck them in underneath business suits in order to look presentable for like a camera crew. And I think she really became unhinged at this reunion and didn't realize that her homophobia was showing. You know what I mean? It's just like she was so busy worrying about a fucking seating assignment. Like it's fucking same seats. I mean, she showed up in the studio like it was like shotgun. Like, we don't, it's not, you're a friend of, you're not going to sit next to Andy, you crazy woman. And she was so unhinged about just the seating assignment that she completely lost track of the fact that, yeah, you're like making really vile comments about, what do you?
No, I think, I think you're right. But I think it's also comes from just a place of desperation where she's not thinking to herself, I need to stuff down. She's thinking to herself, I am the star. And obviously there's been some miscommunication from that contract that I agreed to and signed and the schedule of the day that you sent to me. And every moment of the last 6 months that we've been filming, she forgets all of it in the moment, which is sort of a part of Vicky that we love, right? The fact that this is like a sociopath. And so she shows up ready to prove through her behavior how important she is by just telling people over and over again how important she is. So she's rewriting history. She didn't have an audition tape. It was a new show. They just apparently Facebooked her and said, here's an offer. I mean, like they like Googled person living in Orange County. Yeah. Vicky was the first person that came up and here we are. And ever since then was presenting herself during this reunion as the person that has carried the show while ignoring the ways in which she's carried the show, and then got off the couch and felt like, I'm not ready to leave. And essentially what she had was a tantrum. I mean, one of the best moments of any reunion in history was her impersonating Bronwyn and doing that deep voice she'd also done on the couch. And then
when she was in her room,
seeing
right?
the yeah. camera and turning and Steve's face popping into it and be like,
I'm gonna try to find some way to have a visual counterpart to this podcast so people can see her face
guys,
with you talking about it.
Take 2 seconds and just watch it. We'll pause, okay? We'll have 2 seconds of reflection.
Alert. Don't go on Google and just look up Vicky face because that's going to be really terrifying.
You need to see the, oh my God, which face, which time, which moment.
But
onion rings to all of us. So she... It just was like such a perfect moment of blind, conceited rage that was wonderful to me. I mean, like when it comes to, you know,
I was getting like Blue Jasmine vibes the entire 3-episode arc of this
reunion. I could see that.
Blue Jasmine, where she's just like slowly deteriorating everything.
Yeah.
It was magical watching it culminate into this last episode.
And the transition from just the women and Andy talking about how insane that moment was to her having one of the most insane moments one could ever have. I thought it was seamless. It was wonderful.
Thank God the editors really were just
joke,
because I love that they left it in, just everybody looking at each other before and after she comes to the couch. Oh, this is going to be brutal. Oh, this is going to be, oh God.
It was crazy. crazy.
It was like tax time or something, or like it was like jury duty. They're like, oh my god, this is gonna be fucking terrible.
The one moment.
What did like you? Andy, when she left and he just looked at Tamara, he's like, oh god.
He's like, was it that bad? And she was like, no, it was pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
What did you think of?
Wait, first off, before we get off of Vicky, because I really have an issue with just like the things that she was saying and about. She says they were about Bronwyn, but I used them I took it as a blanket statement about lesbians and or just gay people in general making out on television. Because that's what it sounded like to me. Mm-hmm. And that's how I took it. But I had an issue with no one really holding her feet to the fire about it, especially like Andy sitting there. But then again, we might not have seen everything. I don't know. But I think what really bothered me was Tamara and Shannon just kind of giggling along with her, and just kind of like there was this attitude of like, oh, that's just crazy Vicky. This is how she always is. It's like, no, that's like completely unacceptable. Like, I know Shannon's your girl.
Well, no, Shannon, see, here's the problem.
don't pussyfoot now.
No, listen. Like,
Shannon is.
Hold on.
Sarah loves Shannon.
I stand for Shannon, but I do so in like a spiritual sense. Like, I stand for the idea of Shan, but we can all agree that she's had a really shitty season. Let's not go crazy. But I watched that moment. I completely agree. And wanted to get your thoughts on this because it was so fascinating to me that no one stood up for Bronwyn or even for essentially the gay community. And I think from Andy's perspective, he was probably shocked. I think Gina did the most,
which I was shocked by.
Yeah, she did. And it was surprising to me that Tamara and Shannon...
Considering how close they are with her.
But even more than that, they understand the dynamics of the show and how this is probably going to be reflected. And I think everybody in the moment was like so kind of gobsmacked and sort of humored by it because it was so deeply inaccurate, incorrect, inconsistent with all of her behavior that it was so strange. But I thought to myself after the fact, this is sort of similar to Sheree and Kim Zolciak in that bathroom scene with Andy where Kim's like, why didn't you show my family in the positive moments? And Andy's like, because that wasn't what you showed us on camera. And she did all that shit about like Twitter creating racism or whatever. And it was a crazy moment. And you know that Sheree, I'm sure, thought it was a crazy moment and either didn't want to insert herself into this, thought it would blow over, thought it would be too much to add on, but surely was thinking to herself, maybe less than ladies on OC, but how is this going to look for me after?
Yeah.
And I thought that while I was watching the Dos Amigas, watch their amiga sort of...
We call them the Dos Abuelas or Tres Abuelas.
Fine, whatever. Great. Love it. Phenom.
Round here.
It was fascinating to me that they didn't even think about it strategically. Because that's where the influence of production, the fact that this is a TV show and that you do have a fan base and understanding that the gay fan base is a huge, huge, huge part. That's to me, that is in many ways, but we live in New York City. So like my universe is... kind of specific to that world and the people that I have on AG, but thinking that you don't want to alienate a huge part of the community aside from the morality of all of it.
Yeah.
So it was interesting that there was no pushback, but sometimes you just need to watch people drown. Like,
I know,
you
but
know,
I think
like
at
just,
that point too, maybe, I,
and it was so much, she said
filming,
so much.
But it just felt like everybody was just so sick of her that they just let her wash over them. Didn't it look like everyone was just like, so like, we're just not really talking to Vicky, more just experiencing Vicky. It just felt like everyone was just like, when is she gone?
Yeah.
Get her off of me, you know?
I also feel like people saw her for what she was, which was this like desperate last act. I mean, the greatest gift that Victoria Gumbelson has given any of us was this 3-episode reunion arc. I thought it was incredible. It's like, this was...
What a way to go.
And you know that this is going to be her last act. There's no way that they're going to have her back on. And she's done this whole PR campaign of, I'm not a friend, even though that's technically what I am, but like, I created it and I'm never going to do this again. It's full time or nothing. Well, guess what, sweetie? Like, it's nothing. Like, we're going. That was what Andy said to her.
I love calling her bluff. This is going
to
be
when he was like, you don't have
season.
To be on the show anymore. I mean,
for the first
really?
Time in forever, I'm looking forward to OC next season. It's going to be really good.
So what did you think? So listen, Vicky, I think we can probably agree is no longer.
Yeah.
What?
They're testing like three new women.
And who do the women, who were they introduced by?
One of them is friends with Vicky. That's what I hear.
Okay, interesting.
But that doesn't really, I mean, Vicky kind of like an octopus, has many tentacles and probably touches all areas of OC. You know, every region. But so it's probably not hard to not, it's probably hard to not know Vicky and the OC. But yeah, there's one girl that is friends with Vicky, I believe one that might be related to Bronwyn.
Okay.
But I did not get that from the cast.
Okay. Unlikely that it's Dr. Deb, but okay, great.
No, not Dr. Deb. And there's another one. I'm not sure who the other one is. I believe the other one might be friends with Kelly. I'll send you her IG and we can discuss after. I don't want to like put anything out there that I'm not completely sure yet, but I know that they are testing at least three women.
So what's your ideal cast next season? Aside from
I love the idea of three new women, or at least maybe like a friend of and two new women. I think Tamara, I think now that I've seen the reunion, I think Tamara could stay another season. I would be okay with it. Mm-hmm. There's villains that you just like hate watching as villains, and that's how I felt about Brandy Glanville towards the end of her run. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that way about Tamara. I feel like she does the heavy lifting when she like knows, she knows what the game is at this point. Like, you know, I think she's not afraid to come off like a villain and do the heavy lifting of just like being a bone collector essentially. Mm-hmm. Does she have any personal story anymore? That I doubt it. You know, I don't really have any interest in like seeing her family life, or, you know, I definitely don't want to see Ryan anymore. That's exhausting, right?
I mean, it's Tamara's one of those interesting people who will literally destroy any aspect of her life in order to maintain the check for the show. So, like, surprising Spencer with that scene with Ryan when he didn't know that he was walking into that film moment.
I don't think that Tamara really got a fair shake this season, even though we all obviously really dislike her, Tamrat. But I think that we need to see Tamara without Vicky's influence. You know what I mean? I think it's not completely fair. I think I would like to see what Tamara would be like if Vicky weren't in the picture anymore. Because if you really think about it, all of the issues that we've had with Tamara this season, that Kelly essentially has had with Tamara.
We are Kelly. Okay.
They all go back to Vicky. It's all rumors that Vicky, I guess, had started, but Tamara somehow had inadvertently blurted out about the train.
Inadvertent. Okay. Generous.
Taking her
holiday season.
Yeah, we're giving back right now. But I don't know. I think it would be interesting in seeing one more season, maybe just with completely without Vicky in the picture. But then again, I kind of want Shannon and Tamara to break up. I would like to see Shannon come back from the dark side. I think Gina could stay. I think Emily... Mm-hmm.
Must. The secret sauce of OC this season. Yes. Who would have thunk it? Who knew?
Oh my God. Okay, so I want to talk about Bronwyn because I think Bronwyn had an amazing first season. She's not like my favorite housewife across the board, but I love Bronwyn. I think she's like, she adds something. She's got a specific spice that she adds to the pot. And I think that like, she kind of like flew under the radar, but still was plenty going on, and especially she's got like a really like a lot going on with her home life. She's got a huge family, the Dr. Deb stuff, all of that stuff. But I think that like she had a really good first season, and there's not a lot of first season wives that like really have really great first seasons than the way that she did. I mean, Monique Samuels is the only one that I could compare that I think came in out the gate and was just like, I kind of forgot that she was new after a while, you know what I mean? She's kind of blended in effortlessly. But then it makes me think that she's going to have like a really bad second season. Not bad for us as a viewer, but I think a rocky second season. I see that a lot, right? I mean, when someone kind of like gets the really like a generous editing, like the first season around, I feel like the second season kind of, then the editors really start holding back with like.
Yeah, I think she's been really fortunate that she's had Vicky there and that Vicky has been so obviously like just kind of like monstrous toward her and that comes from Vicky seeing, and in Vicky's own words, she's like, you're a fan. So from Vicky's perspective, a fan has come into her show, and now when you think about it, has kind of taken her place. Okay, but at this point,
everyone's
place.
A fan then, because who hasn't seen the show?
Well, that's like the next, this is the interesting dynamic that's been expressed on like New Jersey and other franchises, where you have people who, of course, because this is like a very famous, successful, I call it an empire for a reason, that you're going to have people who are watching these shows who also do genuinely have their own stories that can be of interest to each franchise. So Vicky used it as like a weapon when it's frankly just kind of like sure, that's just her starting point.
It's kind of like sometimes I think about, like, someday our future president probably is going to have, like, TikTok at some point. You know what I mean? It's like everyone's
done something. Do they not already? I mean, right? Like, yeah, for
but
real.
But it's just like, yeah, it's just like right. Everyone's seen everything.
State of the Union
so.
In, like, 15-second increments or whatever. I don't even know what TikTok is, honestly. I don't get it.
If anybody
it.
Knows
I'm
what TikTok
elder.
Is, can you...
Can you slide into our DMs? So, yeah, so I think she had a really solid season. I'm curious to see... She falls into this mm-hmm. kind of tricky area where it seems like a relative of hers is of added value with this whole Dr. Deb dynamic. You know, like with, this is a terrible comparison that I'm already disagreeing with internally, but like Candy with Mama Joyce, mm-hmm. or probably better Marisol with Mama Elsa,
yeah.
where Marisol... For let's take out whether or not you loved her in Miami, but Mama Elsa was like very, very important for the spirit and vibe of,
yeah, of the
Miami.
Show.
And
yeah.
Yeah,
that's all you remember about it.
So with Dr. Deb, it's like Dr. Deb is so memorable uh-huh. that I wonder how that will work if Bronwyn is truly estranged from her mom, mm-hmm. which she said on the reunion yeah. and has been discussed on the blogs. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Deb,
and Dr. Deb
kind
even
of,
said that she's not going to be participating next season.
Yeah, and it so. Was, you know what, the what was really fascinating to me when you look back at their scenes together, that moment in the reunion where Bronwyn was so honest, and it really made me think when she was like, my mom essentially was jealous of the fact that I was getting this attention, mm-hmm. which, and then they show that photo of Dr. Yeah. Deb in her like
yeah.
society, like cute little like Christian, not Christian Dior, that's
the Rachel
being generous.
Haircut. She had
but,
the
like,
Rachel.
She had the Rachel, and she like looked... very different. And Bronwyn used the phrase like costume, like your mom, like my mom is wearing a costume. And it's just so interesting to understand that their dynamic as we see it now aesthetically yeah. looked very different. But yeah, that her mom probably does feel some feels about the fact that her daughter, that her mom looks like what you would expect Burning Man to look like on the outside, very colorful. And there's mm-hmm. definitely a specific vibe and style. Which in general, and but with Bronwyn,
style.
Right? But with and but Bronwyn is now the star of the family, and yeah. that is, I'm sure, a shift, and that comes with a lot of complications. And I think how cool for Bronwyn to be so honest in a way that doesn't take us out of the fantasy of Housewives, it actually keeps us really in it.
She's because the most honest Housewife. Of OC that we've had in a really long time.
In a really long time. Aside from Kelly, although Kelly's honesty comes from like a place of explosiveness.
Yes, yeah.
So being honest doesn't need to be cool.
And it doesn't need, yeah. and it doesn't need to be, she's not honest to be provocative all the time. It's just like,
Yeah, and I think, she, right, and I think she's finding her way. She didn't have the best season of any first-time housewife, and good for her not having that. That mm-hmm. would be, then it means, like, you're really fucked your second season if yeah. you come in that way. I think Erica Jane had a really strong first season, and look where we are now.
Did
so
she?
I think she did in the sense that she came in, she's like, I eat bread, and my husband's 100, and I have a plane or two. And so, and then it kind of went away when we realized, like, you can't only be hair and makeup.
Yeah.
And so Bronwyn's
and then we go to her house and it's like French country
yes,
decor. It
so
makes
big,
no sense.
With her weird chapel. we're going to say a prayer about that. But yeah, I think that Bronwyn, I think that you're right. She had a really strong first season. We'll see what happens next season when she doesn't have the benefit of having Vicky kind of yeah. hate her for what is
but
really
then,
no
I feel
reason.
Like they might keep Vicky around just because it
no.
is so easy to like.
There's no way.
Get her to just make
There's
a fool
no way.
Of herself, and it's just like
no. Vicky doesn't live here anymore.
Yeah,
there's no in. Way.
Oh, I won't be mad. It's just, you know.
I think it was the description of the episode.
My thing is like OC is a nuts place. I mean, it can't be that difficult to find some nutcases out there.
Sure.
Like, come on. Like, we could literally have a casting at the mall and they would just line up. I feel like there's got to be.
I think that there's tons of potential. You see these women. I would love to see a friend of Kelly's in place.
Yeah.
You see these women and their Insta stories, certainly Kelly's, which are every moment of the day in a good way, in a mm-hmm. it, like a crazy kind of way. But
Kelly
she
Instagrams
certainly
like Bethany does.
Yeah, she does, where it's yeah. literally her live journal.
It's literally, yeah. Just
she just literally, I don't even think she knows.
She puts strangers
yeah.
on without
no.
asking them,
she's
which I
like,
can't even imagine.
No,
I don't even like, I don't talk on my
right.
Insta stories just because, you know. Gays don't like hearing, I don't know if you know that, gays don't like hearing their voices. Evan, Evan Ross Katz confirmed that with me last episode.
Oh, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you'll have to have Vicky on because now she's a fellow podcaster.
She says she doesn't do podcasts.
She doesn't do podcasts except for her own, or also probably including her own, which she probably also won't do.
I could see her hiring someone to do her part for, like an intern, to like just, she'll write out stuff and I feel like she'll just have them read it out.
I would love to see her do a 3-hour episode with those two clients who left her services because of a morality issue. I would love to see a sit down with them where they talk about their problems. I would love to see a
solo reality show. I was telling Evan this last episode, maybe something based on like, kind of like the comeback reboot, where it's about like, except it's her as Valerie Cherish and it's her like acclimating back into normal life from being on a reality show. But they're filming her.
Wait, Vicky?
Yes.
Has she ever been normal? Family van?
When normal, I mean like just like normal, like a private citizen. Like not filmed for a show.
Uh-huh.
Like just driving to work.
And there's a cute little Chanel.
Getting lunch. What do you think she eats for lunch? Just like a sweet green salad. Sits alone in her like empty.
Screams at people.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. That would be, I don't know that I can co-sign on that.
Someone will watch it.
I'm sure I will. I will be that someone.
Are you watching New Jersey?
I watch every episode of every franchise at least twice. Am I watching New Jersey?
I forgot.
My God.
This season's a little slow, but I think it's going to pick up. I think it's going to be, yeah.
Okay. So the next episode is the assault, right?
Yeah.
It's the violent act that I'm like giddy about. Did you see those screenshots?
I love
screenshots?
Margaret so much.
I mean.
Yeah, you sent me screenshots of like Danielle pulling Margaret's ponytail. She's doused in water.
Right.
And she has this
grin.
Grin.
Joker. The Joker-esque.
It looks like a Cheshire cat.
Yeah.
Like
it's so scary. It's literally 4 screenshots of her, and it's like the 5 or 7 stages of grief, except they're all the stages of joy. And it's literally every moment. So it's like kind of fascinating. It's not that she pulled the hair and was happy about it. She was thrilled about the opportunity to try to like decapitate Margaret Josephs and was literally shit-eating grin the entire way through, which is
couldn't be me.
A look.
Couldn't be me. Margaret's better person than I am. We would have tore that motherfucker up.
Well, the I mean,
I can't believe Margaret did it, but you know, Margaret's a better person than me. So
what do you think the aftermath of that will look like? Like literally the seconds after.
Production, I think, you see someone getting
someone
involved.
Grabs her.
So I think there's security. I think they know with Jersey.
Right. That things can get a little crazy.
Yeah. So they always have a little security on deck, but, I was going to say something about...
This season is not great.
It's not great, but I was going to say something about...
I think it's actually pretty fine. I think it's fine. It's
about
just...
About the
OC is so good. Oh, hair, shitting and grin, water feature, second time.
She said she got whiplash from it, Margaret. And if she says she got whiplash from it,
She
had to go to the doctor and everything, yeah.
I mean, if you look at the difference between what Ashley did and what Danielle did. Ashley, it was like a tug.
It's like
I want to shift
it. She like
it.
Shifted
it was like,
her entire, like she looked, she Margaret looked like she was in the Matrix. Like she looked like one of those crackheads in Union Square like when they're like walking and they're like half elevating. I love you, Margaret. She looked like she was breakdancing.
Oh my God. Solo.
Oh no.
It was a duet. My God.
If I was on Jersey, I mean, I wouldn't even be throwing drinks anymore. I would literally just like, I mean, at this point, they're all throwing drinks. It's like, you know, Danielle's just going to take it up a notch, right?
But
like,
she brought, I mean, this is the problem of Danielle, is that Danielle brought a fucking armed guard to a previous sit down with Caroline Manzo. So if we're going to talk about like going more bottom, I know, for real, rest in peace. Although Caroline and Teresa filmed a Super Bowl commercial in LA this
week. I think
that
was all about the money, yeah.
Which was totally about the money, but it does also flag... If they can be in the same room for a chunk of change, maybe Bravo can give Caroline enough to return.
And I thought about a world where, like, what would that look like?
Caroline coming back?
Yeah.
In that world, Dolores gets so much fucking value and power from this investment that we made that hasn't been returned yet.
I love Dolores. Yeah. I mean, she reminds me of the women that I, like, grew up around.
Okay, great.
I love her.
So you don't have locks on your doors anytime.
Like
just stop by anytime.
Yeah.
3 a.m. I'll make you some pasta.
Dolores is so like my mom. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I love her.
Oh, wow. You have a good
my mom. I love my mom too.
Oh, so sweet.
But yeah, no, I think Dolores has always had value, but I wonder if, and I'm not saying that this is like But I think that, do you think that maybe she was kept around for such a long time because in order to maybe segue some of the Loritas or the Manzos back into the picture, do you think that?
I don't think it had anything to do with Loritas. I think
because
that
Dolores has not really had a solid personal storyline.
Right, which is a problem.
Since she joined.
I think that when she joined with Sigalit, they thought that she would be a little spicy, and she was with, you know, Danielle and others, and then she kind of faded into the background and has been kind of the beta to
Teresa. What is she waiting for?
Well, I don't think she has really a storyline aside from the David stuff. Dolores works best when it's in relation to anger or chaos with her castmates. So if you want to put Caroline Manzo back in, and Dolores has made this choice for whatever reason to be very deferential to Teresa, what happens when her genuine, very good friend of at least 20, 25 years, Caroline Manzo, comes back in? Who does she choose? That, to me, because I think that's real. I think she's made a decision to fully support Teresa, but we know that she's very, very close with Caroline and has been, essentially, I think the entirety of their adult lives are for a large part of it. So what happens when these two women, who obviously hate each other and who are both kind of fighting to be, you know,
matriarchs of the show,
the center, right, can of tomato sauce or whatever, like, what happens in that battle when you have Dolores there who has to kind of take a side?
Yeah.
Otherwise, and then, I don't know.
And then I also, I think that Caroline would take a liking to Jennifer for some reason. I think something about, like, their...
To Jennifer?
Yeah.
And not Jackie?
I don't think Jackie. I think that...
Jackie's a little too high-strung?
Yeah, I don't think that Jackie, I don't think anybody really likes Jackie on that cast except for Margaret. I mean, I don't mind Jackie. I think she's fine.
I honestly, like, even talking about her, I'm like,
I have nothing really to give.
I have nothing to give. I think that the casting has really settled into a solid place. I think Jersey this season is solid, but the problem is that because we've had, like, the highest of highs, in my humble opinion, with OC and the lowest of lows with Dallas, Jersey just hasn't.
Yeah,
it's like
popped.
It's having a consistency. It's having a season that I think you can watch when you're not watching anything else in a year, and it's going to be like completely fine. But it's
last
just not.
Was just so, so good. But I think it's these shorter seasons too. That's why. Oh, you didn't like last season that much, right?
I mean, I did. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
All I remember is your husband.
It was a shorter
season,
so it was just like no filler, you know?
Yeah.
And I felt, yeah. I mean, I was just excited to have new people on. Anyone but the twins.
The worst. One of the worst seasons of any franchise.
Is that, do you think, maybe the worst of any?
You know, season one of Miami was pretty bad.
Yeah, season one of Miami, I was just going to say. Yeah.
Last season of Orange County and Beverly Hills, I thought were both, like, pretty terrible.
They were the dark ages of New York, but some people will argue that those were good. Like, seasons...
Yeah, you can watch
six.
5 and 6. I've rewatched them sort of recently, and they're not bad. They're still
watchable.
We're
about to head into another dark age.
With what?
This season, I think, coming up, yeah.
Of New York?
We won't have Bethany.
And whose fault is that, by the way, that it's going to be a bad season? It's not Tinsley's. It's not actually Coupon Cavins, although he's not helping. Whose
Definitely
fault is it?
Not helping the situation.
Who quit the show the night before?
I blame Luann for everything, so.
Okay, great. Yep, that's the answer. Sure. Okay. Why not?
Are we excited at all about Dallas? Not at all. I totally, when you reminded me that the reunion hasn't even aired yet, I thought we had already watched it.
I put it on, my IGs are just like complete non sequiturs about Housewives 24/7, and I put that as a story because I was like, I genuinely thought I watched it. I honestly thought I watched it and hated it.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, wait a second. And then
I think I just looked at the looks that they were wearing and I hated them.
Right. And I saw
the
teaser.
I hate the red and black. I hate red and black together. Ugh,
this whole thing
just,
of like.
I hate this cast. I hate this season.
And it's so dark. It's so dark and really unenjoyable. And there's nothing. I want to escape out of this season, which is supposed to be in some way, somehow escapist. Like. It is so bad. The casting changes. I think we gotta say goodbye to Leanne.
I think we maybe if Leanne's gotta go, then I think just maybe Dallas should just take a.
Do you think?
Take a bow. It's been a good run. I think maybe give the time to Boca Raton. I would love to see the Real Housewives of Boca Raton. Could you imagine?
Wait, why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be? Why can't they just have
I will some never leave the house if they add one more city and don't take one away. I don't think you understand. I need to do
Salt Lake City, BCC. I know it's
coming up, but.
Wow, they heard people's calls about diversity, and they said, "We've got you, Salt Lake City."
The casting is supposed to be really, really good for that. I spoke cool. to a source, and
a white woman with a black Amex. There's the diversity we need.
No, I really believe in Boca Raton or Fort Lauderdale. I think.
So you're trash is what you're saying, trash. But you're trying to keep it cool. Fort Lauderdale?
There's a lot Why of money not in Orlando? Boca, and it's such a specific person that like moves from the Northeast there. And
That's where Siggy moved. That's her new...
Yeah, there's a lot of money there. There's like, I think it's a really interesting... We've already done Miami.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting locale.
Sure. I'm not going to argue with you on Boca, but I do need to understand Fort Lauderdale. And let's talk about
the demographic. I mean, like, it's just probably going to be, like, a bit older women. And I love an older housewife. I mean, Karen Huger. Sorry. A woman of a certain age. If you're listening to this, Miss Huger, I'm so sorry.
LaDame, if you're listening, LaDame. I would literally die for some of your fragrance. So if you can send me, not a sample, I need the full 3.4 fluid ounces. If you can send that my way. That would be great. Thank you so much.
The next episode is going to be specifically all about Karen Huger. That's what we should do next time.
Wow. Is sure. she going to be it. Here?
I'm going to make sure she calls in or something. Or maybe we could do an IG live if she figures out how to work it. Or she knows how to do an IG live because she stayed in her bedroom doing that when the girls were in
When she New was Orleans. In mourning, okay? In mourning. We call that Shiva in I'm my not religion. Laughing.
I was just...
It would be interesting to have a conversation about all things... like entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
You know, she's doing the fragrance thing. Andy himself even said that Leanne's dress idea was best, like one of the idea, best yeah. it's ever, which I actually agree with.
I still can't, agree with that. Yeah.
It didn't take but off, Deandra I don't think, in any way. No.
She just couldn't give her that.
No snaps. Either couldn't no snaps give her that. Or too
had
many.
Had to try it on, had to wear it without the snaps, had to.
Oh my God.
And then that one Carrie wouldn't shut up about it.
Carrie with a K. Talk about bad casting. Mm. Oh my God.
She'll probably be back.
I think I super disagree. I think she served her purpose, and that purpose was in.
I'll be so mad
in...
if we lose Leanne because of her and have there, to keep. Yeah,
there is no way. I think Carrie with a K was helpful in the sense that because Leanne hated her so much, we got some stuff from that, albeit super dark. But if Leanne is gone, Carrie is gone. Next season,
and I think it's going to be easy. Brandy, Cameron, and Stephanie all stay. The other three go, and just recast the three.
Completely agree.
Maybe even bring Carrie Duber back.
Oh, 100% bring Carrie Duber deserves. Back. She super deserves.
She deserves.
Talk about a demotion that was unnecessary, unwarranted.
Or make Leanne a friend.
No, we're good.
Okay.
We're good. Then.
Okay. All right.
If we're going to talk about timeouts, Boo Boo needs a timeout. She got her wedding. She got her lovely little arc. And then she shat on it. We're good.
Generally, I have like lapses of judgment every 5 minutes throughout the day. So like that, you're totally right. I agree.
Thank you. That's why I'm here, guys. I'm the truth serum.
But we are rounding up on 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
So that is our show. I want to thank you so much for being here today and talking to me, Sarah Galley.
Emily, if you're listening, I love you.
Be sure to check out her podcast, Andy's Girls, and follow her on Twitter and Instagram. And in a second, if you want to tell us those.
Yeah, you can listen accounts. To Andy's Girls, which is a weekly pod. Find that wherever you listen to podcasts. And Twitter at Sarah Galley, Instagram at Dame Galley. And I have this little fun segment on my pod called Satchels of Gold, which mm-hmm. are listener, yeah. oh my God, so magical, which are listeners getting in touch, letting me know questions, thoughts, and feels. So if you follow me on Instagram, send me a satchel and maybe you'll hear it on a future episode of AG.
And if you like us, please subscribe. We're going to continue the chat on a bonus episode that I like to call the B-side. We're going to do a bracket of the best friend of Housewives of
oh all my time, God.
All across all franchises. And in order to access that and all other bonus episodes and content, you can sign up at the B-list at patreon.com. And I promise you won't regret it.
Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Get that Patreon Bye. Shackle.
Bye.
We all say, oh, well, never was there ever.